Hi, everyone, and welcome to Magic Lessons, a podcast produced by MaximumFun.org and Riverhead Books. I'm Elizabeth Gilbert, and I just wrote this book called Big Magic, Creative Living Beyond Fear. But even when I was finished with the book, I didn't feel like I was really finished with the subject. So I wanted to make this podcast where I could take the subject of creativity out into the world and have real conversations with real people about it. And that's where magic lessons come from. And what are magic lessons? Roadmaps for the path to creativity, the extra nudge we need when we're feeling stuck in our creative lives. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Magic Lessons. This is Liz Gilbert, and today I'm calling Erin Rawlings in Michigan. Erin?
Hello?
Is that you, my love?
This is Erin.
Hi, Erin. It's Liz Gilbert.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited to have this opportunity to speak with you. This is amazing.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be speaking to you, too. And I'm really happy that you're going to open yourself up to this idea and be, you know, here with us as we try this new thing. So, Erin, it's time for a magic lesson. Should we do it?
Let's do it.
All right. So here's how we're going to begin. I know a little bit about you. I have a little bit of your backstory, but I always would rather hear it from you. So just begin with what's going on with your creative life right now.
I've always just wanted to be a writer, even ever since I was little. And but I didn't know how to go about it. So I did what I thought was the second best thing, and that was to become an English teacher. So I taught junior high for about 6 years before I willingly chose to be a stay-at-home mom. I just thought this was going to be my life, and the grind really just started to get to me. And I went into therapy because I couldn't tell what was really going on. And after a lot of talking about, you know, postpartum depression and anxiety, my therapist was like, I think you should start a blog. So I did. And it felt really great to have a place to write and connect with others. And I was thrilled. And then I really started to learn how to use social media. And then eventually I picked up a job teaching social media strategy for business. And then it developed into an online course. Literally, I was just working from home. After not having made money in quite a long time, it was very powerful to feel like, wow, I'm at home with my kids making money. But there was just like this gnawing feeling, I would say, starting this December, after 3 months of adjustment of having both kids in school full time, there was just like this undercurrent of this need to write, but like I just couldn't figure out how to make it work. And I got really quiet with myself, like twice a week at yoga. I realized that I think the core of my struggle is guilt. I have a guilt that I have a passion other than my children, and that I fear that this passion will take my focus away from my kids. I think I have some guilt with self-worth tied to money. And the other prong of my guilt trilogy is breaking the family code of loyalty. Mm. You know, creative nonfiction is telling my story, but, you know, there's a lot of other people and their circumstances involved. And I've written some really mild blog posts and experienced some serious backlash from family members, and it was really painful. So I think that that is where I am in my struggle right now.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, first of all, Erin, I love your self-awareness.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you. Some people find it annoying.
Well, they can just suck it. No, I just have to say, first of all, you've done like 98% of my work for me here, because you've obviously taken a lot of time in your life to try to figure out what you're feeling, you know? Like you've gone to therapy, you go to yoga twice a week, you've, you know, expressed yourself on your blog in order to work out your postpartum depression and to talk about these issues. I mean, you've like really tuned in, even to the point that you know that your procrastination is not about the stuff you actually have to do that day, right? Like when you say, like, when I hide behind my busy work, you know you're hiding. You know what I mean? Like, so what you're not doing is you're not coming to me and saying, I have all this creativity, but, you know, there's just no time. because you know there is, right? Like, you know
yes,
that the kids
you know,
are in school.
There was a time where I would sit in front of my computer and refresh email in case a student had, like, a question. And I'm like, there's no need for that. Like, you could check your email twice a day, you know, and be done
right.
with it. But I felt like I was kind of, like, that's when I started to get, like, this, like, prickly feeling, like, this isn't, something else is going on here.
You know, first of all procrastination is fear. Anything that you do that stops you from the work that is gnawing at you, the work that wants to be made through you, the creative project that's begging you to release it, the treasures that are hidden inside of you, anything that you do that blocks that is fear. And it might look like fear very obviously, or it might, like, fear has a lot of shady disguises. So fear shows up as perfectionism. Fear shows up as insecurity. Fear shows up as guilt. Fear shows up as procrastination. All of it is just something that you're, you know, that you're too scared to do. And so, I mean, I want to talk about the guilt because I feel like that's such an important question, not just for you personally, but for women in general and for mothers in particular. I feel like mothers are the members of society who need to be given the most permission to be able to do the things that ignite their own souls, because there's some deep, deep sense in the world that once you are a mother, your lives belong exclusively, entirely, and only to your children, even if they're in school. Like, even if there's 8 hours a day where they're not in your presence, anything that you're doing in those hours that are for you and not for them, there's this deep fundamental sense that you are taking something away from those children, that you are harming them, that anything that you do that ignites you harms them. And I want to really focus on that for a second, because if we don't get past that, I don't know if you're going to be able to do the work that you know you have to do. You know, that you, the thing that's gnawing at you, the thing that's talking to you. And I have a quote that I found for you today that I wanted to bring to you, which I hope will be as interesting to you as it is to me. This is a quote from the British novelist A.S. Byatt, who is the author of Possession and who is also a dame of the realm. So she is like lady or what a dame Byatt, I guess, right? Like she's a venerable 78-year-old woman of letters whose books I admire a great deal. And I read an interview with her years ago where she said, I think, the most radical and important thing that I'd ever heard a female artist say about being a wife, a mother, and an artist. And I'm just going to read you the whole quote because I think it's, like, scripturally important. All right, it goes like this. I think of my writing simply in terms of pleasure. It's the most important thing in my life, making things. Much as I love my husband and my children, I love them only because I am the person who makes things. I am who I am is the person who has the project of making a thing. And because that person does that all the time, that person is able to love all these other people.
Man, that's pretty powerful.
Right?
Yeah.
What she's saying is, if I don't have this outlet, if I don't have this means of creativity, if I don't have this way of being a maker, then I actually can't fully love these people in my life, because I will always a little bit resent them, and I will always a little bit fear that I've lost my life to them, right? So she was able to stay married. She was able to raise her children, and she was able to be a really happy and contented wife and mother because she has this thing that she does, which animates her soul. So take that, take that and write it down and put it over your studio and give yourself that permission to say, not only is this beneficial for me, ultimately it's beneficial for them.
Yes.
It's beneficial for them because it will make me a complete person who is capable of human love rather than a depressed person who is capable only of resentment. The second thing that I want to talk to you about is this idea that I have about the runway. I feel like what you've been doing for the last 6 years is that you've been increasing and picking up speed on your creative journey, but you're still a little bit on the runway, right? Like, taking all these classes and writing is part of the runway. Giving yourself permission to write is part of the runway. Starting the blog that you started is part of the runway. Teaching has been part of the runway. All of it, you know, you're accelerating towards something. But now that gnawing feeling that you have and that feeling of being stuck right now is that you're done with the runway. You know what I mean?
Yes, that's a great analogy.
You're done. You needed it. It's beautiful. Thank it. You know what I mean? Like that blog gave you everything that you needed for a while. It was exactly what you needed to be doing. It got you moving, right? Like because you started sort of not moving at all and then you kind of inched forward and now you're like speeding down that runway, ready for liftoff to do the thing that you really want to be doing and that you couldn't have done if you hadn't had those 6 years of buildup. If you don't do liftoff now, you're going to crash that plane into a bunch of houses on the other side of the highway. You know, so we really need you to take off. And one of the things that I'm going to ask you to do is to do everything else in your life a little worse for a while. If you shut up like 90% for your kids instead of 100%, they're going to be fine. They're going to be fine. Everything in your life, I want you to dial all of those things back so that you can create enough space to write the book that I want you to write and that creation wants you to write and that inspiration wants you to write and that the universe wants you to write. It's going to mean that everybody else gets a little bit less of your attention, but ultimately that's not necessarily such a bad thing. The other thing I wanted to say about motherhood and creativity is that the reason I am a creator is because my mother was a creator.
Oh, that just, I did see that post on Facebook where you did say like you paid homage to your mother for being the creative soul that she was. And I have little makers at home. They're so creative and I almost feel like my brain is split. Like I see that one part of, you know, that feels guilty, but then there's this other part, like if they see their mom do this, what can they accomplish?
If you model martyrdom to them, they will grow up to be martyrs. If you model creativity to them, they will grow up to be creators. And so again, I'm going to say it is a public service for you to honor your creativity so that you create little creators, because this is one thing I know. And I'm not a mother, but I've seen this in my own life with my own family. I've seen this in the lives of the people around me. You know, my sister has two kids and she's written, five books at this point in her life. She's a young adult novelist. And she told me this thing that happened, this big breakthrough that she had one day where she just put a sign on the door that said that you cannot bother mom right now. Like mom's doing something that you are not allowed to interrupt. And her kids were old enough to be able to manage it. It's not like they were one and they were going to not be able to feed themselves. You know, they were probably exactly,
right.
Actually, I think they were exactly the same age as your kids are. Did you say your kids are six and nine, right?
They can go
off and do something by themselves at this point. They can go write their own book. They can go draw. They can go play. They can do all sorts of inventive things while you shut a door that shows them that at this point, this is the stage right now where mom has to do this. And she talked about her daughter running into her office one day without knocking, just opened up the door and ran in. And without even turning around from her desk, my sister said, "Unless you are on fire, I want you to turn around and walk out of this room right now." Because I told you that I'm doing this. And that's what her daughter will remember, that when the time comes for her to honor her own path, her own calling, her own creativity. So I want you to get a little sign to put on your door. And you could do it when your kids are at school, but if you need to do it while they're home, it's not such a bad thing for them to see.
Especially with summer coming up, I will need a sign.
You will need a sign. And they will also need that time to figure out how to entertain themselves. Being sent away is something that my mom did to us all the time while she was working on her creative projects, while she was sewing, while she was gardening, while she was doing the things that ignited her and brought her to life. She would just be like, get out of here, go away. And in that time that we went and took care of ourselves, my sister and I both developed our own creativity. And it's not an accident that we both became writers, because we had to learn how to deal with our own boredom, with our own instincts, with our own desires. So that's one of my assignments to you. You have to get a sign for your door. To keep your kids away from you for a little while. They can handle it. It's actually good for them. I want you to write down that A.S. Byatt quote that I gave you. I'll send it to you, actually. I'll have it written down and sent to you.
Okay.
And I want you to tell me, if you can, what is the book that you need to be starting this week? What is it that you have to be doing?
It is a book about how I'm learning to trust my instincts after ignoring them for so long to fit into my family. And that's a really hard thing to say out loud, especially in a place where everyone can hear it. But, I feel I have a list of like how I, you know, I've done some pre-writing strategies, and I have, you know, the way I want to present this in, I think, a different way that I've never seen before. And, you know, that's the book I want to write.
You know, you'll be doing a great service to a lot of women if you write that book. Oh, but that's not, but let me just make clear that that should not be your motive for writing it. The service that you're ultimately doing is collaborating with inspiration, because that thing that's gnawing with you is an idea that's coming out of the cosmos that has chosen you and is asking you to work with it. The other thing I want to say is you're afraid about what this will do to your family members if you speak your truth and if you write your truth. That's a very legitimate fear, and it's not one that I want to dismiss lightly, because you will be the only person who can decide how much you want to engage with that, how much risk you want to take, how much honesty you want to reveal. But I do want to say, just for the purposes of pure creativity, which is what your assignment is this summer, there is the book that you must write, and then there is the book that you can publish. And those may be two different books. So before you worry about the book that you can publish, and before you worry about what everybody in your family is going to think about your truth, I want you to just take that off the table completely and write the book that you need to write. There are parts of books that I have written, and then I went back later and said, I don't really want to deal with the nuclear fallout of telling this story publicly, but I'm really glad I told it privately. So I'm just going to cut and take that right out of the book. But I know that I said it. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes, it makes a lot of sense.
So one thing at a time, right?
Yes.
You're going to do it?
I'm going to do
it. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. You know, that whole part where you're like, the book you must write is different from the book that you publish, I think that resonated with me. And that's what I think I needed to hear to, like, help move this through.
Yeah, because there should be no obstacle to making something. So listen, my dear, two things. One, can I call you later in the summer and see how it's going?
Absolutely.
Okay, because I want to check and make sure that you flew off that runway, that you're in flight. I want you to start getting in flight like this week. You've done enough preparation. It's time to go. And the second thing is, there's one level at which I don't entirely feel 100% confident in giving you advice, and that's because I'm not myself a mother. So what I wanted to do was I wanted to call up a really powerful, amazing, creative and vibrant woman writer, memoirist, who is also a mother, in order to run your case by her and have her give you some advice. And so I'm going to do that, and that's going to be an extra little present for you. And I just want to tell you who it is. It's Cheryl Strayed.
I am so thrilled. I just finished reading Wild, and I wrote a blog post about how powerful that book was for me. Oh, my gosh.
All right. Well, she is going to hear about you. I'm going to talk to her about you, and she's going to chime in with the little bits that I feel like I can't complete in this journey. So now you have, like, two fairy godmothers.
Wow. This is amazing. I don't even know how to express my gratitude except just thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, listen, here's how you're going to express your gratitude. You're going to go write your book.
Yes,
okay. So,
thank you.
All right, honey. You're awesome. You've got this. I'll talk to you later in the summer.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening, everyone, and I hope you'll join me next time on Magic Lessons when I talk to Cheryl Strayed about Erin's situation and about creativity in general. Magic Lessons is produced by MaximumFun.org and Riverhead Books. Michelle Siegel is our producer. Our executive producer is Jesse Thorne. Our theme music is by Dave Cahill. Special thanks to Becky Salatin, Jeffrey Klosky, Michelle Kafopoulos, Lydia Hurt, and Paul Ruest of Argo Studios. If you want to learn more about my ideas on creative inspiration, check out my new book, Big Magic, Creative Living Beyond Fear. It's published by Riverhead, and it comes out September 22nd, 2015. You can find out more information about my comings and goings on elizabethgilbert.com, and you can always find me, personally, on Facebook, because I'm there literally every single day. So let's keep the conversation going. Thanks, everybody.